been murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. It's been a little while, guys. We are back from our Thanksgiving week, our time with our families, having fun. And joining me as always, I don't know, he kind of smells like Updog. Josh, what's going on, man?
You stole it because I was going to do the same thing. I tweeted it a little bit. We've been having fun at work about this. And I was like, apparently this should be our new... like the Joey, how you doing? Like trying to get the girl, be like, hey, you ever heard of Up Girl? No, what's up, girl? What's up, girl? How you doing? So we were just, it's been nuts. But dude, Justin Tucker's awesome. But yeah, man, I've heard of Up Dog. I smelled of Up Dog, but what's up, dog?
How you doing? I think it's funny that after that Cincinnati game, Terrell Suggs went out on the press conference and was like, I don't want to say anything else about this guy. He's already got a big enough head. We don't need to talk about him anymore. So Justin Tucker definitely making the rounds in the locker room, making rounds in the NFL, showing everybody what he's made of. Right now, after that Cincinnati game, I don't think there's a player that's any more important than Justin Tucker.
No, not at all, man. Three field goals over 50 yards is pretty outstanding, man. Especially when this offense has lost its identity throughout the year and not knowing where we are. You know, we can't score on the goal line. We just can't seem to get in the end zone. And when we do on the first drive, as we do where we go up 7-0, we forget how to score a touchdown. It's like Dallas. We ran the ball down the throat, go up 7-0, and that's all she wrote. We didn't get the end zone until late on a Steve Smith touchdown. Ravens against the Bengals. Go right down the field. Perryman gets a second touchdown as a Raven. Oh, man, we're firing. We're going to blow Cincinnati up. Nope. Ravens didn't see the end zone the rest of the day. So it's just and we've already heard Mordingly this week saying he hates the word conservative. But this offense is what it is. They're conservative. It's they get away from what's working. They're not aggressive. I mean, there was a point in this Cincinnati game, man, where we had the ball. We could have put them away and close out games is what we need to do here. Especially you want to win the North. You want to have a deep run in this playoffs, which we could easily be talking about here. And you want to do that, and you go on three and out when the defense gets you the ball back. It's uncalled for, dude. It's uncalled for. But Justin Tucker, as you said, he is the man. He has every right to do what he's doing. He's earned his contract. This is why we paid him $16 million over 4 years. Because he's not only the best kicker in the league, he's the best kicker in all of football anywhere. He's by far a valuable asset, and we're happy to have him on the Ravens. I'm going to point out something to you, Brandon. You know what I saw this weekend?
What's up?
At the Ravens game, I had a chance to watch some NFL games as I usually do. And so watching the Jets almost hang on for the victory against Patriots, while the Patriots had a fourth down and short, and they were right around midfield, okay, on the enemy territory side, and it was about a 51, 52-yard field goal. Bill Belichick had to make the choice to punt it because they don't have Justin Tucker to kick a field goal for him because their kicker can't make it that far. So that just shows you the difference. If we can get a battle, we play the Patriots in 2 weeks on Monday Night Football. Just shows you if we get a battle in the playoffs like this, we have a valuable asset where if the defense plays stellar up to the number one potential and we can stop teams, and if Justin Tucker can kick four field goals during a game, we can put one or two touchdowns on the board, it is game over, man. it's a valuable asset to have, and I'm happy to have number 9 kicking it for us, man.
Absolutely. Justin Tucker's showing why the Ravens spent so much money to keep this guy. He's a he's just a master at his craft. Some people are saying after that game was over, the NFL was saying that Justin Tucker may be the best kicker of all time. That's how big of an impact this guy has made on the game already.
And remember, we had Matt Stover, who was one of the all-time greats.
There was
that's saying something.
Yeah, if you listen to the Ravens podcast, they were talking who is the better Ravens kicker, Matt Stover or Justin Tucker, and both guys really couldn't give an answer.
That's tough. Well, Matt Stover was the architect of a focal point of our Super Bowl year, where obviously we didn't get the end zone for 5 games, 21 quarters worth, and it was against the same Bengals team, not the same players, but the same franchise, who we actually got into the end zone against. So it's kind of funny how we're talking kickers, we're talking droughts, we're talking stagnant offense, and the Bengals are a focal point of that discussion in the game. So it's just that's tough, man, because Stover, he was automatic. We always called him automatic, being Matt Stover. Tucker, Legatron, he's got his own nicknames, and Duck We Trust, Mother Tucker. I mean, you can just keep going on and on. But the dude's just many talents, man. Opera singer extraordinaire. Corny Royal Farms commercials when Nada left. It's just, the list goes on and on and on, but just leave it up to him, man. Right now, I actually heard on Sports Talk Radio this week an interesting statement. It said, right now, as it stands, Justin Tucker's leg is actually worth more than Flacco's arm. That was a pretty bold statement.
I kind of have to agree with him, though. Joe Flacco, a great quarterback, but really hasn't shown it that much this year. However, I do want to say the fact that they're going no huddle, they're going shotgun, you are definitely seeing a more comfortable Joe Flacco in the last week or two. I saw it in the Cincinnati game. However, the thing that really sucks is that it's still not showing on the scoreboard. You know, there's not that much of the offense to go around. But I like what I'm seeing from Flacco. I think, you know, even though this is December and the season's almost over, I think this still goes back to training camp because Joe really didn't participate in training camp that much. He wasn't in any of the – or he was in one of the preseason games. I think this is still going back to not really having a good chemistry with a lot of the receivers. We've seen him throw to Kamar Aiken and Steve Smith and Dennis Pitta, and that looks comfortable. But like Mike Wallace, Rashad Perryman, they're new guys for Joe, and I think we're just – now in December 1st we're talking, I think we're just now starting to see Joe gel with these guys. Some of them gel a little bit better, some of them gel with the first time, but I think him being comfortable in the shotgun, Joe being comfortable with the no huddle, being able to command his offense is a very good thing. We're starting to see the brilliance that there can be with that type of offense.
Of course, man. And I've said all along, and we've even agreed on the show, man, it Flacco thrives in the no-huddle, fast-paced offense. I've always thought he's a West Coast quarterback, even coming from the East Coast. He's not with that boring walk up to the line. He needs to be quick, crisp passes, and up-tempo. Flacco thrives in up-tempo, and I think that's where we need to get back to. Keeping the defenses all balanced, calling a good mix of run plays, forcing passing plays. I think that's exactly where we need to thrive. And that's right, we do if we want to win the North and get the far in the playoff run, especially with some of these defenses here we have to go against and keeping the teams off balance. I think it'll be a good mix. But I definitely love to see how we came out first play of the game, shotgun formation. But you can do a lot there. You can call a draw play. You can call a sweep. You can do a quarterback draw, fake it. You can do options. You can, do a quick pass. You can air it out. There's a lot you can do there. You can call audible to get back under center. You can do a fullback dive. There's a lot of things I can go on and on and break down the X and O there. But at the end of the day, I think it's just, we need a lot more variety than we're just used to. Just conservative is it. We're vanilla and we're predictable. You can't be predictable when we're in the stands in a shotgun formation. I said a draw play is coming, even though that's what should be called. And what was called a draw play, and it got stopped for like a 1-yard run. And my buddy next to me was like ragging me. He's like, "You called that play, ball coach? That it was a horrible play." I'm like, "But see, I know the team." I said, "How is it that a fan who covers the team like I do and is passionate about the team as I do, and I knew what play was going to be called? If the fans can predict the play call, what do you think the opposing defenses is doing?" It can't happen. You got to keep them on your toes and keep us guessing. And football, dude, Brandon, it's a chess match, man. It's It's how do you outsmart the opponent? If the defense is set up in a run, you want to try to pass the ball. And vice versa, it's a chess match. It's calling audible. It's keeping you imbalanced and keeping you guessing and off your game and one step ahead. And how many times we get out coach, man? I just think that's where we need to get back to.
I'm right there with you. I agree with everything you said. Let's talk a little bit about Rashad Perry.
Happy to hear that, man. I'm just kidding.
Let's talk.
Not every day I hear that, so I'll savor it.
Well, I mean, I gotta disagree a lot since we're on a podcast, just so we can have some back and forth. But I agree with what you're saying.
I make a good point. You know, Josh, that's a good point. It's a good point. Yeah, it's a boring show. We need to have some conflict. You know, like, oh, I think Joe Flacco's elite, and then someone says he's not. You can have a debate. Yeah, I love those kind of things, man. That's why we do what we do, because even though we're best buds and we love the Ravens, love covering them, but there are some things we don't agree on, and that's what creates it, man. That's what creates sports talk. Everybody's got their passionate about something and their opinions. It's awesome.
And I think we can all agree that Joe Flacco is a passionate quarterback. We've already put to bed the elite talk. Now is he passionate? All right, so let me talk to you a little bit about Rashad Perryman. I want your opinion on this guy. We saw what a touchdown that he was able to get from Joe Flacco. I mean, that was something of beauty. That reminded me of the Joe Flacco, Torrey Smith days. I think that's why Rashad Perryman was brought in to be the next Torrey Smith. We haven't seen a lot from him. We've seen little bits and pieces of brilliance from Rashad Perryman on the field, but it's not enough yet. How does Rashad Perryman make that leap, make that jump into being somebody the Ravens can continually count on? Because the dude has dropped a lot. He's gone out of bounds a lot. He hasn't been a great player. He's been showing that he is a rookie, even though this is his second year. We see little bits of brilliance. How do we get that to be, you know, a guy that we can always count on?
How he takes his next step is just to continue to be confident and making plays. I mean, there's been some drops there, but Flacco keeps going back to him. And what happens is when we have, you know, excuse me, Brandon, not that much productivity going on the home front as far as receiver, you got to step up and make plays. That was a great catch. He gets 2 feet down against the Redskins. We got another win there. He's matured in that. He understands, and I think we need to use his speed. He's out there for stretching the field because we missed that here. We never had that here, obviously, so we can't really miss what we never had. That's definitely an obvious statement. He needs to stretch the field, but just be more aggressive, man. Go up there, have Flacco throw it up, make the play. You got to be confident in your abilities. A lot of concerns for his drops. He's been known to drop some passes. He's got speed, but then he's not finessed with his hands. So that's coachable. Because it's not, you don't need raw talent catch football. You need to be coached about, especially in traffic and in live situation, game situation. I just think, again, he needs to step up to the plate and show us what he can do. I think he has a lot more to prove, being his so-called rookie year here, in year official too, but his full season as a Raven, getting under his belt, staying healthy. And that's another thing there too, staying healthy. Those two words, I think, can sum up Rashad Perryman's career. If he stays healthy, potential is there, my friend.
Yeah, 100% it is. And let me say my favorite thing I saw this past Sunday from the Ravens offense is the fact that Joe Flacco really did spread that ball around. You know, we know how much of a force Steve Smith can be with the ball. We know what Mike Wallace can do with the ball, you know, with the teams he was with at one time. But I like the fact that that Joe didn't just throw to those guys. You know, I talked in the past about how Joe locks in on somebody, stays with them throughout the entire play, whether they're covered or not, and throws the ball. I like the fact that he's scanning around, he's looking around, and he's given it to Kamar Aiken, to Darren Waller, to Dennis Pitta, to Steve Smith, to Mike Wallace, Rashad Perryman. He's using his receivers, his tight ends, as best to his ability, and he's not sticking with one guy. Last year, before Joe and Steve got hurt, it was the Joe Flacco, Steve Smith show, and that was it. That's all that there was. That's all that was getting thrown to, and everybody.
And then when they both got hurt, that was all she wrote.
Exactly. So I liked a lot the fact that Joe was spreading this ball around. But as I said before, we still need more points onto the scoreboard. We need more from Joe. Even though I like what he's doing, he's got to continue and he's got to go even farther now.
Definitely, man. I couldn't agree with you more on those points. Because he's got to take the next step and go farther in the offense. And I think in spreading the ball around, he hit a good point there too, where we do a good job of getting the ball and the playmakers. But that's where I want everyone to hone on. We spread the ball around, but it's in the playmaker's hands. How many times I screamed in Dallas during the Dallas game, give him the ball. You were there. I was like, just give the man a ball. He's a freak. Talking about Steve Smith. He wants the ball. I said it. When the game's on the line, Kobe Bryant was going to take the last shot. Everybody knew it. LeBron does it in basketball. Michael Jordan did in basketball. When the game's on the line, the Steelers are going to throw it up to Antonio Brown, which they did, obviously, for the fake spike and touchdown where we actually put him ahead a little bit. Those things, that's what I'm talking about, Brandon. You have to be wanting to put the ball in your playmaker's hands, and that's what we need to accomplish here.
Absolutely. So let's go over to the defensive side of the ball. The defense showed once again why they're the number one defense in the NFL. These guys know exactly what they're doing. Let me ask you, when did this team turn into like a volleyball team? Because how many spiked footballs did these guys get, put their hands in the air, and Andy Dalton couldn't get anywhere? You know, he couldn't throw anything. That defensive line was getting up. They were blocking. They were doing everything they were supposed to. This defense looks unstoppable.
Don't they? I think they are, and pretty much virtually unstoppable. I mean, they haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher, something close. You know, Elliott ran for 97 yards, but no touchdowns. They've been very stagnant on the run. They kept Jeremy Hill in check all day, and that was another thing. We continue to make offenses against us one-dimensional. Sky's the limit. I mean, apart from the interception, they could have had a lot more on the ball there. Weddle's got to catch the ball, plain and simple. But if you really look at how it's going to pan out defensively, we're getting everybody back. Stokes has been really good with his bicep holding up. He's been a force of nature. And how about Doom, man? Doom had a great game coming back. And if he could stay healthy for this stretch run in December, we got Nick Boyle back on offense. There's a lot of pieces coming together. Jimmy Smith is finally practicing. The line's getting healthy. And we're in first place by half a game. We get healthy at this right time. The defense is just going to get better. Doom added that element, and we've seen it. And it's going to go well for us coming down the stretch here.
Now, towards the end of the fourth quarter, we saw the defense. You know, they definitely had a workout going on, and we saw that the Bengals started to kind of make a little bit of a comeback. Was the defense just tired? Like, is that something that really we should be talking about on the offensive side of the ball because they weren't on the field enough? Was the defense just worn out towards the end?
I think so. I mean, and again, I've always said this, when you can't get the other team off the field and they're extending drives, the defense, they're human. They're going to get tired. So when you leave a tired defense, they're going to break down, especially when a fourth quarter of a game comes online. Where if your offense can get a comfortable lead and close out games and have ball control, it goes hand in hand. The offense helps out the defense helps out the offense. It's a team sport. You know, you can't have the defense on the field for 40 minutes of the opposing time possession expend to win a football game, unless you get really lucky with a couple of kickoff returns or picks or fumble interception return for touchdowns, or your offense can get one play, one touchdown kind of deal. That's not going to happen. I mean, they get tired because they're human. They get tired because they're on the field extensively because they can't stop them on third down again. Third down was a problem again on Sunday. I thought we were better efficiently on offense. We had some great execution, some great plays using it. I mean, we had the trick plays with Steve Smith to the end around to get the play going. We had a good third and long. They actually did it right, dude. They called a third and long play, and they threw a first down to Kamar Aiken right down the middle for like 20 yards. I'm like, is this – I kept going around everybody. I was like, what did I just see? Who's this team? Because usually on a third and long play, they throw a four-yard check down, and it's fourth down. You concede. I hate that. They actually showed the aggressiveness. The defense needs to get after it more. They showed great pressure. Showed great composure to bend, not break mentality. Bengals had it right there, but at the end, the defense holds steady.
That's right. So let's talk about that last play before we get done talking about the Bengals game. Let's talk about that last play, that safety. How much longer is that going to be legal in the NFL? Because while it was brilliant...
By the way, I called that. I exactly called that. I mean, I don't want to mean hindsight 2020, but I literally said in the stands, you know, it'd be cool right now if they did what they did in the Super Bowl and just run the clock out because they had no timeouts, because you don't want to give them one more play.
Right.
And they did it, which was awesome. But you're right. Go ahead. Yeah, I want to hear what you guys say about it because this was awesome.
Well, we know John Harbaugh came from a special teams background before becoming a head coach, so we know he knows all these kind of loopholes or whatever. And it was brilliant what he did because, I mean, made sure the Bengals didn't get the ball back. You know, who cares if you give up 2 points? They're still going to lose. It was smart, but I can see so many other coaches, mostly, you know, some coaches from New England and other coaches around the league, seeing that for a second time for the Ravens, getting so angry angry and asking the NFL to make that illegal?
I don't know if they will or not. It's well within the rules. Now, the penalties were kind of new, quick on it. It was kind of funny to me how, like, every flag was on the field. And I was even joking when the refs were conferencing. I was booing them. I said, "No, the rules. The game's over, fools." I kept it, and it was like a good rhyme in the stands. But it's a great way to end it. And I was like, if you not recall, and people are bashing it on, like, social media. I'm like, did you not see Super Bowl 47 happen the same way? No one was saying anything. It was a valid point because it was kind of funny because as long as Sam Cook hold on to the football, he could have legitimately ran the ball. No one knew where it was, but then – and then when I saw what they were doing, I was like, oh, wait a second, they can't even get to him because we're holding him on purpose. Because he was running around, and I just kept watching Sam Cook go back and forth. I didn't even see the help and the holds. And then when all the players were being held, I saw the flags. I was like, wait a second, I see nobody's coming at him. They're doing it on purpose. And they were smart because the game cannot end on an offensive penalty. It can't end on a defensive penalty. So they ran the clock out, took the safety. They were already up by 7. They only won by 5, which is – it don't matter. The Ravens were up by 5 points. In the Super Bowl and did it and brought the game down. But see, there, the Niners, they didn't hold them on purpose there, which I would have been interested to see if they'd implemented the hold strategy in the Super Bowl, or maybe the Ravens took notes from the Super Bowl and said, you know what, maybe we should have helped the Niners and ran the clock out. We wouldn't have had that kickoff, and it would have game ended right there in the Super Bowl. That would have been unprecedented. The Super Bowl end like that, that would have been memorable indeed. But maybe the Ravens took notes. Who knows? But it was definitely clever. I bashed some Patriots fan because he was saying, oh, the Ravens finding loopholes, blah, blah. I said, it ain't a loophole. It's written in the book. If you can use it to your advantage, why not? It ain't no different than a baseball player getting hit on purpose by a pitch. If the bases are loaded, I lean in and take a 90-mile-an-hour fastball for my team. If it meant scoring a game-winning or a game-tying run, I'm going to do what's necessary. Derek Jeter did that. He was accused of doing that, and everybody's always cheating. No, it's all within the rules. You want to get hit on purpose, lean into a pitch, go ahead. Same thing with the Ravens here on football. If they want to go ahead and do that, but by all means, I don't think it'll lead to a rule change. I think that'd just be pretty poor on the NFL. Oh, you just did a smart thing, so let's just take it away. She can't do it no more. It's legal for any other else team to do it. We're just the ones that actually implement it, so everybody's jealous. So I'm not going to fault them for being jealous because we're awesome.
I like that.
You like that?
That was good. I agree with you.
You like that?
You like that? Yeah. Yeah, I like it, but I can definitely see some coaches, some general managers going to the NFL and saying, this isn't fair, blah, blah, blah. But
it's no different than the college football. You remember the Statue of Liberty play that Boise State did to defeat Oklahoma? Does anybody remember that? The hook and ladder, Statue of Liberty?
Yeah.
Ain't no different than doing some weird trick in the hook and ladder play, hiding a football somewhere. Ain't no different than the Mile High or the Music City Miracle when you're flat on the ball 20 times, you can't catch it. What, are they going to rewrite the rules because someone creates something creative? No, it's not going to happen. If they do that, the NFL is doomed and going down the abyss in hell if that happens, because they can't. You can't do that. You can't rewrite the rule book because someone thought of something clever. It's just not how it is.
All right. Well, we'll leave.
Not my world, at least. But I don't run the show here, so.
Right. All right. So that's it for
the whims of the commissioner. But who knows?
Yeah. That's it for the Cincinnati game. Before we get into the Ravens Dolphins game, let's talk about the news that broke earlier this week. The Ravens are under consideration to play a game in London.
In London.
All right, so Josh, simple question. The Ravens potentially going to be up against the Jacksonville Jaguars in London. Do you already have your bag packed?
Dude, when I heard this news, I was like looking at flights and how much it would cost, and I need to get my passport and how much money I would need, and what's the conversion rate of euros or whatever they use over there, Britons? What do they use? Britons. I don't even know. Britons, yeah, that's clever. I don't even know. I can hear our UK fans just laughing at me because I have no clue. I really don't have a clue.
So what do you think about them going over to London for this game? I love the idea. I think it's great. It's going to be an away game for the Ravens because they are contractually obligated to play every home game in Maryland, but this is going to be
awesome.
This is going to be a first for the Ravens. I love the idea of them having a game over there.
I love it, man. I said this before, it's international exposure. And obviously we have the Call fans out there, man. How great would that be for them?
Yeah, absolutely. We have so many fans from over in the UK that listen to the show that have contacted us and saying how much they want to see the Ravens over there.
But how great would that be? And their wishes are going to come true. We've always joked about it, talked about it. And the Ravens are actually one of eight teams who haven't been there to play in a game, whether it's an official home game, unofficial home game, or an away game. And speaking of that, the reason why the Jags are always brought up is the Jags, and this is just how it is, because it's funny how they got the expansion team before us. Their contract to play in London because they suck and they can't sell out their stadium, but we can, and we got two championships, but that's besides the point. They're contracted to play at least one of their home games through 2020 season. So technically that's their end. And we actually, and this is how it came up, because the Ravens are one of eight teams. Eventually all the NFL teams will be playing over there because we're one of the eight that hasn't. Well, that's going to change obviously throughout the years. But it came up because we do play Jacksonville away, but it hasn't been determined if that's going to be the game. And Deshadi's even been an advocate about us going out there. Dude, this is huge for the Ravens. International exposure. We have all the fans out there. How many of them listen to the call? It's just awesome, man. I appreciate every single one of you, no matter if in the U.S., all the way halfway across the world, Australia, wherever you guys are from, Netherlands. I'm trying to think of all the countries I know our fans from, but definitely U.K. It would definitely be great. International exposure. It would definitely be interesting to see what time the bars open, because it'd be a 9:30 game here, so we'd be getting up and early like we're tailgating, but we have a football game to watch. But the park side is we'll be done football by 2 o'clock. So, it'll be awesome, because I remember watching the international series here when like the Redskins played and the Bengals. And it was cool because you really got football at 9:30. The game ended around 12:30. You had football at 1. You had football at 4, and you had football at 8. So pretty much, when these London games go, the way the timing issue, it's football all day long for us, which is awesome on a Sunday, getting it started right. But it'd be great, man. I couldn't say enough. International exposure for this football team would be a tremendous advantage.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I would love that. I'm not going to make any promises.
You know what, though?
What's up?
You know what? The marketing department's probably geeking when they heard that, because they're like licking their chops. What can we cook up? What can Under Armour cook up for the Ravens, the market over there? And Under Armour, too. Imagine the exposure for Under Armour. I mean, there's a lot of the things at stake here. You're not talking keeping about money, but it just creates it. And then with the fan excitement over there, it's just an awesome experience. Man, what can't you promise?
I can't promise this will work out for us if the Ravens are to play a game over there, but I would absolutely love if some of our UK fans could help us out and have us do a live podcast from London before the game.
Yeah, Facebook Live, man. You can get done.
That's right. We'll do Facebook Live so people that are in the States can watch us while we're over in London. If you guys can help us out finding a pub over there that's Raven specific that we can do a live podcast from, I'm all for it, and I would love to see that happen. You know, actually on Facebook we asked some of our friends here to send us some audio clips and tell us what their thoughts are about the game, and we actually got a few, so I'm going to play one for you right now. This is from Greg in California. So here's his idea, or what his thoughts on the London game.
Yo, Brandon and Josh, what's up, guys? This is Greg out in California representing Ravens Nations out west. Just want to put my little take on the London possibility. Hey, I love it. Let's take it across the pond. Let's show these Brits what Baltimore football is all about. Maybe gain a few fans. You know, I think it'd be good. Be good. So I'm all for it. Let's go. Keep up the good work.
All right, thank you, Greg, so much for sending us that audio.
Greg, that's awesome, man. That's very awesome.
Repping in California, repping Ravens Nation there. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for sending that in. Guys, if you have any thoughts about upcoming games or anything like that for the rest of the year, just send us those audio clips. We'll try to get you on the show, brandocashpods@gmail.com. Greg sent us one, and thanks to him for doing that. Thanks for listening, as always, Greg. He's always talking to us on Facebook, so that is awesome. All right, Josh, are you ready to get into this Miami-Baltimore game?
With all pun intended, let's dive right in.
All right, so the Dolphins come to town. These guys are red hot. They've won the last six games in a row. I want the Ravens to be able to beat that record. I want them to beat the streak like Brock Lesnar.
We beat one with the Bengals game. Because it was four Thanksgivings ago that we last beat them, and we finally got that taken care of.
That's right, got that monkey off our back.
But see, the last time I saw Ravens-Dolphins game, I was in sunny Florida in December. around this about a year from now. Actually, it was about the same time last year. I was in Miami on their turf, and it was a sucky game with Matt Schaub at quarterback, and it was sloppy. We almost won the game. However, we did lose. So now Dolphins come north. So this is going to be a fun one, man. This could be bigger for playoff implications, bro. Did you know that?
I've read that this is the biggest playoff implication game of this entire week in the entire NFL.
And that's why it's funny it's on 1 o'clock and not Sunday night game or a late game. But whatever. No one really cares apparently about Ravens-Dolphins. But it's a playoff game essentially because it looms huge. It looms huge. Why? Because the Steelers, right now it's us between us and the Steelers. We put the Bengals 2.5 games out with 5 to go. We would probably have to lose out, and the Bengals almost have to almost win out for them to even have a sniff of a chance of it, in division sake. But here's the thing, why. Dolphins are red, red hot. There's the second highest team other than the Dallas Cowboys, which is crazy. They're 7-4. They're enough running for a wild card spot. Obviously, you know, they would beat us out tremendously if that happened, and we were trying to go for a wild card. We would almost have to win out. Ravens Dolphins is big why, because of playoff chances. And I want to break it down. Courtesy of BaltimoreRavens.com, I took some of these numbers. The Baltimore Ravens cited the Ravens currently right now have a 34% chance of reaching the postseason before the game starts, Brandon, all right? If the Ravens win, it's almost 50%. It's actually 48, but it's about 50% now. You know, 7-5 with 4 to play. But here's the problem. The Ravens lose if they lose this game. Just like statistics and winning percentages and who they play, just the stat guys are good to us in giving these numbers. The Ravens' chances drop to 18% to make the playoffs by trying to win the division. So that's a pretty huge jump, dude. It's like, what, 30%? So it's like, it's insane. The Ravens going up against the Dolphins is huge, not only because the Steelers get the Giants. Giants are another red hot team. We barely lost to them, kept an Odell Beckham in check. They got Beckham. If the Giants can do work and we can do work, we could be 1.5 games up. Steelers would be 6-6 and not 7-5 with the Christmas Day game looming against them. Dude, the Dolphins game is huge. We have to win this game. I said it along. Losing to the Dallas Cowboys, I said to you after the game, we're going to be 7-5 in 2 weeks after a couple of home games, my friend. It'll be okay. And this is what has to happen, man. It's right here for the taking.
All right, so we know that the Dolphins are red hot. They have this streak coming to town with 6 wins. What is it about this team that was helping them get these 6 wins? Did they face really bad teams? Do they have a really good quarterback that I don't know about? What is it about these Dolphins that have just kind of sprung up out of nowhere?
Well, they're resilient for one, and they were losing 10-0 and then ended up coming back and winning the game a couple weeks ago. 2 words. It's actually a name. J.I., their running back, starting running back. He's been a breath of fresh air for this Dolphins offense. The guy's been an absolute stud. Rejuvenated the running game, and again, we stopped Ezekiel Elliott, top rusher in the game, 97 yards, no touchdowns, not even get 100 yards, which is great. The Ravens are great at stopping the run, one of the best in the business this year. If we want to go anywhere in this game, it's going to stop J.J.I., and it's going to stop right now. You got to stop his running game and make them one-dimensional. Ryan Tannehill ain't going to win this game. If he does, I'm going to be shocked. But again, another weapon they have is Jarvis Landry. The guy's an absolute monster, and he's going to create problems, especially like how Dez Bryant did. But we have another X factor because we have Jimmy Smith practicing this week on the field and see if he can get into the mix, because he's going to be key in stopping their number one target because they don't have Devontae Parker, who's been battling some injuries. So it's going to be very, very good to see these matchups. This game is going to be about matchups and taking care of the football. Yeah, that's every game, but this game – we're going to focus on just this game. No other football is played after today. We're focusing on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Got to stop J.J.I., got to stop Landry. And if not putting pressure on Tannehill, make him make mistakes. You got to make him beat you. Don't make the running game beat you. You got to put it on Ryan Tannehill's shoulders because he's not going to last in Baltimore. It's going to be a Ravens win. And that's just my take on it. My onus right there, bro. It's just they just got to step up. The Ravens got to come out huge in a big way and show the Dolphins they're not going to be messed with. They're not going to come in here and prove a point. The streak's going to end, and it's going to end very good.
All right, well, I'm not worried about the running game because we have Brandon Williams and we have Mike Pierce right up the middle. I don't see them being able to get through those guys. I'm so worried. Let me just tell you, I know we're not supposed to look past this Sunday, But I'm so worried looking towards this offseason and knowing Brandon Williams is going to be a free agent because we do have Mike Pierce there, a much younger, cheaper guy than Brandon Williams. I don't know how much longer Brandon Williams is going to be in Baltimore, which sucks. But anyway, looking at this Sunday, the two of those guys together, I think they can shut down the run game. So then you got to worry about Tannehill and his ability to throw to his receivers. Yes, Jimmy Smith is back. I love that. He's practiced, so he should be ready to go on Sunday. But again, backing him up, we have Sharice Wright. It looks like he's going to be playing. That always worries me. And then you also have Tavon Young, who over the last couple weeks has looked at the same thing with Prasad Perryman. Looked great, looked brilliant, and then shown how he can be a rookie. I mean, we definitely saw him and what it looks like to be a rookie in that Dallas game from Tavon Young. So, yes, Jimmy Smith is going to help out and definitely is going to help the secondary. Eric Weddle is going to do his job. But do I think that we're going to be 100% solid on defense and they're not going to be able to get a touchdown? I'm not sure, just because Jimmy Smith's going to be working off a little bit of rust. He's not 100%, and we do have Sharice Wright out there.
Dude, yeah, and Wright always scares me, and I'm worried about, too, what you bring up there about Jimmy Smith and his rust. Jimmy Smith's still going to be a breath of fresh air for us in the secondary. He's going to provide what we need in pass coverage and just that presence out there. But, like, Doom was coming back on Rusty, and then he went back on the injury list, and he came back with a credible game. I'm expecting to see how that's going to bode well for us in the offensive and how we gel on the defensive side as well, because the other side here, too, with the offense is the consistency, not sputtering on drives, finishing off drives, how we're going to respond. How we're going to run the run pass mix, how we're going to respond to the criticism of we're vanilla, we're too conservative, we're not dangerous, teams aren't scared of us. Because I tell you what, you know, I put some of these best college teams in the country against their defense, against Ravens offense, because I'm sure they wouldn't be scared. And they're college kids. They're not even pros. I'm calling out the offense as it is. They're just not scary. Our defense is scary.
Yeah.
I don't want to play against this defense, man. Weddle almost had his paws on a pick. He barely held on to it. Sucked. He had it there. But it's scary. And I think if we can really shut offenses down and if we can learn to score points, we can be a force to be reckoned with. We already kind of are. But if we can just get over that hump and just find it and play a whole game, the Ravens just can't get in that prevent mode. They can't let the Dolphins even sniff a close game. You know, it's already going to be close. This is going to be a touchdown one or loss. It's going to be a 7 or 3 point game or less than that. It's going to be a single digit game. We know it already. We're not going to win this game by 17. We're not going to win this game by 14. If we do, I'm going to be shocked. I'm going to have an early Christmas present in the stocking because I'm going to be like, hey, the Ravens by more than one score, which is going to be awesome.
All right, so let's talk a little bit more about the offense. You've already brought them up. Do you stick with the no-huddle shotgun formation that Joe, like we talked about in the last couple of games, looks very comfortable in? Or is this the type of defense where you kind of have to set up plays, focus, you know, more on the run game than anything else? What do you think the Ravens are going to go with on offense?
Well, I think the Ravens are going to go on offense here. They're going to have to come out fast and furious. They're going to have to come out with a balanced attack of that shotgun. I think they come out right now, no huddle, and you just start doing it, whether it's a draw play, cross, screen pass. I would actually be honest with you, dude. If I were the Ravens, whether we get the ball first on the kickoff or second, first play of the game, I would just sit back in a shotgun, let Flacco assess, and I would throw deep to Perryman. Just take a shot, 40, 50 yards, or Mike Wallace down the sideline. Or I would do crossing routes and send one of them just deep and chalk it up. What's worse going to happen? A pass interference? What if he gets picked off first pick? Okay, that's like going 3 and out and punting the ball. Put your defense back on the field. I mean, who cares? Go for it. I look at it this way. This is a playoff game. What do we got to lose? The AFC North? Because it's right there. Not to be stupid. You're saying, Josh, don't be careless and wing up the ball down the field first play to him? No. You want to take what the game's going to give you, but I come out with a surprise. I come out with what we did against the Bengals. Why don't you give it to a sweep pattern for Mike Wallace for a 15-yard gain on the sideline? Why don't you get the ball in your playmaker's hand? Why don't you do a crossing route to Steve Smith, a quick slant, let him go, one-on-one matchup? Why don't he beat the safety over the top and take it to the house? Why don't we do a screen pass to Kenneth Dixon and let him take it? Why don't we use Pitta down the middle? Let's use our playmakers to their advantage, but again, let the game come to you and take what the defense is giving you. If the defense wants to play pass, run the ball. If they want to stop the run and stack the box, you pass the ball. And if they want to give you a disguise, well, then we'll disguise what we're doing too and play it back. And I think that's what the Ravens got to do in offense. It's got to be quick. It's got to be disguised. It's got to be aggressive. And it's got to be now. Because what better time than now? Because if they lose this game, pretty much our playoff chances are bye-bye, winning divisions bye-bye, and we're going to net. The Ravens can only afford one loss. And I'd rather it come against the hands of course, the Patriots in a couple weeks. I'd rather it come to whoever it come to. But I don't think it should happen this weekend. We have two home games left. This is one of two in the next 3 weeks. The Ravens, two out of the next 3 weeks are home. If they can go 2-1, they're in a driver's seat, I think. It's got to come down to this game, man. Execution is going to be the game.
All right, so offensive side of the ball still. Let's talk about the running backs, Terrence West, Ken Dixon. It's been like a 1-2 punch with them, but it looks like Terrence West has been our starter. Does he stay that way? Ken Dixon has looked very good in the last couple games. Do you give him first shot over Terrence West?
I do. This is my team, my show. I'm running it with Ken Dixon. Sorry, Terrence West, but he's just not getting it done. He's gotten it done. He had scored a touchdown in Dallas. He's looked sharp, but Kenneth Dixon looks more like the explosive runner he is. Kenneth Dixon's fresh. He's a rookie. He wants to prove it. Terrence West, he's still finding his way. But I think, but with this team, he has the compliment. I'm not taking anything away from Terrence West. A lot of fans love the guy. And not even more Dixon. They love this guy. I was sad when he went down in preseason when I was at the game. But I knew he was going to be back after I heard about the injury, which was exciting. But Kenneth Dixon's explosive. And if we can't get that going, I don't know what it is, but backs complement each other. We had the three-head running attack in 2008 when we had McGahee and McLean and Rice. I mean, we had the three-man running attack going there. A lot of teams were doing the 1-2 punch. Before Giovanni Bernard got hurt in Cincinnati, they had Bernard and Hill, which had equal production. I have them both in my fantasy squad, and how many times I can pull up the stats, and they both had like 15 rushing attempts or 10 rushing attempts for like 57 yards and a touchdown apiece. Because they're used equally. They're used in their own respect. They have unique attributes to bring to the team. And I think what's dangerous, Brandon, and I don't think they've done this a lot. And if they have, I'd like somebody to really go back and let me know if they've done this a lot. But I'd like to see them go two back sets. Why not go back a shotgun, have Dixon on one side, West on the other, have Pitta up the middle, have your Steve Smith, your Perryman. Why not just spread them out four wide, two running backs in the backfield? What are they going to do? Because there's a 1-2 punch and you have them both in the backfield with you, you know, maybe don't be predictable. Don't do that on third down and leave Juszczyk on the field. But who knows? Maybe go three backs. I don't know what the rule is on that, but why don't you put Juszczyk, Dixon, and West back there? And why don't you just throw a screen pass and let them all go? Who knows? I don't know. But I'm just trying to get creative too, man. Something needs to spark. But I love Dixon over West right now.
All right, well, I think I'm ready for Sunday against these Dolphins. Josh, have we covered everything?
Bro, we covered this one. Quoth the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet me at BrandoCast. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, guys, listen, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return, come on, it is the holiday season. Give a little back to us. You know, let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call and you should too. You know what? I'm feeling pretty good with the holiday season right now. I got something I want to give away to everybody. So we've gotten a couple requests this year, last year as well, for our intro song for The Call. And people want a full version of that song to listen to on game day. And there's a copy that exists out there, but a friend of mine made it for us, so he doesn't have it released anywhere. Since this is the holiday season, if you guys write us an iTunes review, send us a screenshot of your review to brandocashpods@gmail.com. I will send you that full-length song in return. How about a little Secret Santa gift swap idea? Josh, you like that?
I love it, man. We only dealing like Santa does it on Christmas Eve, man. I mean, you already got the beard. Just put the hat on. You'll be all right. I got some Raven Santa hats if you want it.
I got one of those, too. I got to dye my beard white if I'm doing that. It's a little too dark. But so that's it, guys. If you guys want our song, write us an iTunes review. Take a screenshot of your review. Send it to us, brandocashpods@gmail.com, and we'll send you the full-length intro song that we have for the call, and you can listen to it every game day. All right, go to facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. You can also send us your thoughts on games in the next couple weeks and let us know what you think. Send us an audio file, brandocashpods@gmail.com, and you can feature you on the show. But I think that's pretty much it for the call this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much. It's been a great, great double pack, double wide show for Thanksgiving. It's been a great feast of a show. Jam packed, man. I'm excited. I'm excited for this game. I'm excited for every game, but it's another playoff atmosphere, man. Can't wait to get it cranking. We got to slow the Dolphins down. They're another red hot team. We played one a couple weeks ago and barely lost that game. So what it comes down to is this. We got to execute the game plan. We got to execute it hard. We got to execute it fast, guys. We got to enjoy it because the ride's short. We got 5 games left. Can we do it? We got to go no worse than 3-2, 4-1's the goal, maybe. Can we win the North? It's coming, guys. It's coming. You got to have guys have a little steadfast. Got to be patient. We've been with this team all year, and we're 6-5. We're right there. The AFC North is weak this year. It's ours right for the picking. It's right there for the taking. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high on Sunday.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.